This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Now to help unpack the political side of things, along with a few other issues, we have Guardian political reporter Paul Karp. Paul, thanks for joining us here in The Informer.
Hi, Toby.
Paul, we were just hearing about some of the many issues that have been raised by different organisations regarding the government's religious freedom bills. What's your sense of the political situation?
You've got in the government conservatives who, if anything, want to make it even stronger protection for religious freedom. So there have been a few people publicly, like Concetta Fierravanti-Wells, calling for that to happen. And then on the Labor side, you have an opposition, you know, burned from losing the election in a surprise loss, and some on the right faction of that party suggesting they have to do more to appeal to religious voters, so they should consider passing it. But then, you know, the left faction being more in favour of preserving discrimination law as it stands for LGBT Australians. So it's going to be quite interesting to see which of the two major parties is more split on this legislation.
Yeah, it is a fraught space, isn't it? There's been debate around whether or not I think it's a financial hardship test that the bill ostensibly applies, that the companies would need to demonstrate financial hardship caused by speech. Can you unpack that a bit for us?
Yeah, so when an employer sets a rule that indirectly discriminates against an employee on the basis of their religion, and that can include in Israel Folau's case, you know, setting a rule that they can't post about religion on social media. Large employers would have to show, in order for them to set that rule and get out of this prohibition in the bill, they would have to show they'd suffer financial hardship if they didn't do it. So, you know, arguably in the Israel Folau case, Rugby Australia could claim that because they would lose sponsorship, that they should be allowed to tell him not to post. But, you know, financial hardship seems like quite a high bar for those large employers to clear in order to set their own rules. And the other thing is, like, why is only a financial consideration, you know, why are they elevating financial considerations mm-hmm. and not, you know, wanting to have promote diversity or you know, to be inclusive for their other staff mm-hmm. as a goal that, you know, justifies it?
Yeah, we're talking with Paul Karp from The Guardian about religious freedoms. Senator Jackie Lambie has come out against the proposed religious discrimination bill, worried about its impact on state-based laws. But interestingly, she's come out very, very in favour of drug testing New START recipients, which is one of the other major new pieces that the government's revived after its first attempt in 2017.
Yeah, I think Paul, you can correct me on this. I believe she's only in favour of drug testing New START recipients if politicians are also drug tested. Is that correct, Paul?
Her position over the week, it started out being, why don't we drug test politicians? And, you know, you had a few senior coalition people like Matthias Cormann saying, you know, yes, they'd be prepared to pee in the cup. But
oh
by midweek...
As if there aren't enough foul emissions coming out of Parliament as it is.
And by midweek, rather than make the rhetorical point about, you know, double standards and politicians and staffers and whether or not they do drugs, instead by midweek she pointed out, no, the issue is that it puts the cart before the horse. Because if you want to get people off drugs, there have to be the services and the rehabilitation to help them do that before you introduce the punitive measures. Mm. So I think it's pretty clear now that she's not going to pass this bill because she doesn't think those services are in place.
Where has the push for this legislation come from, Paul? Because, this was never contested during the election. This is not really an idea that's been discussed very often at all.
Well, it was in it was, a trial of this was in the budget about 2 or 3 years ago, and so the idea has been around for a while, but it was one of the measures that was blocked in the last parliament. And although it might not have been a great focus of the election campaign because of the surprise re-election of the Morrison government, every bill that got blocked in the last parliament, I think it's a pretty good bet that it's going to be coming back while they draw up a new agenda.
Do you think they have
Just going back to what you were saying about Jackie Lambie on religious discrimination, I think it's important to remember that the reason this bill is being introduced is because federal law lacks protection for religious discrimination. But Tasmanian law already has something like that in place. So I think from Tasmanians' perspective, they've only got things to lose, like losing control over laws about offending, insulting and humiliating people. They have things to lose but nothing to gain with the religious discrimination bill.
Mm. And the other big news item today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison has come out defending Liberal MP Gladys Liu over the controversy around her relationship with Chinese government-linked organisations. Is her time in Parliament numbered? Days in Parliament numbered?
I think it's too early to say that. There were some reports that intelligence and security agencies had queried a fundraiser that she organised a while ago, which has been kicked along by an interview she did on Andrew Bolt, where she didn't state a position about whether China was stealing or thieving bits of the South China Sea, and it didn't recall whether she was a member of certain Chinese organisations. And she tried to clarify that point by saying that sometimes these organisations count you as a member, without your knowledge.
But it was pretty weird, wasn't it? I mean, I've not seen an interview that strange for some time, Paul, where she declared, even though she was the honorary president of an organisation for 12 years, that she didn't recall anything about her time there. Like, that's a long time for an organisation to falsely list your membership.
Labor can point to, how unsatisfactory that they think that is as an explanation, but, that only goes so far. Mm. And so they were, in question time today, trying to ask if there were, if the Prime Minister got any security briefings about her and trying to find new ways to apply scrutiny to this situation. But Scott Morrison backed her and, noted that she was duly elected at the election in the electorate of Chisholm. And, it kind of shows the irony that, we had the whole last parliament was torn apart by looking for people who were dual citizens of other countries, because the whole premise of Section 44 is the Constitution that maybe they have some dual loyalties. But, here we have a case of, someone who Labor is curious about, and there's obviously the Constitution ban doesn't prevent someone from being an agent of influence, just if they don't have a citizenship of somewhere else.
Mm. It begs a lot of very, very interesting questions. No doubt there'll be many, many more fireworks up at Parliament. Paul, thank you very much for keeping us in the loop.
Cheers.
Right. That was Paul Karp from The Guardian. This is The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.